to you, and I would love to meet with you following the service today. I want to say thank you for coming out. When we come together to worship God, we experience Jesus in a fresh way. I have a few announcements here to make. First, daily saving time is next Sunday, that is March 8th. Yeah, one more hour to lose for sleep. And then I have an announcement for men here. Lenexa UMC Men Fellowship will meet on Saturday, March 7th at 8 a.m. to have coffee and fellowship at Sneeburger Hall. It will also be a time to set a schedule for monthly men's fellowship. Decide on what day of the month will be held and what program to study. So all men are welcome. And please take a moment to record your presence and pass the pad to others seated next to you. That is all I have, and I turn it over to Cody.
Good morning, everyone. Could we all stand excuse me, for the call to worship, please? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord.
Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Amen.
Could we turn to page 176 for the call to worship, or for the hymn, Majesty, Worship His Majesty? Stay standing and pass the peace amongst each other while the children come forward for time with Mary.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in a new season of the church year. Does anyone know what season it is? Not spring, but...
Lent,
exactly. And do you remember what Lent is?
The beginning of Easter.
Yeah, it's the time leading up to Easter, the 40 days plus Sundays, where we focus on remembering that Jesus came to earth and he died for our sins. And it's a time to get our hearts ready to celebrate Easter. And so one way that some people get their hearts ready is by giving something up for Lent. Have you heard of people doing that? They say, during Lent, I'm not going to eat candy or drink pop or...
give stuff out to people.
Well, that's something we would want to do during Lent, right? And all the time. So are you guys going to give anything up for Lent?
Yeah.
Yeah? What are you going to give up? Oh, I hope you give out your love instead of give up your love. Yeah, so you can think about if you want to give something up for Lent. And the reason we do that is we remember when we're sacrificing that item during Lent, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And during Lent, any time we really, really, really want that thing, we remember that Jesus loves us and he died for us, and we can take that time to maybe say a prayer to Jesus of thanks and ask Jesus to give us strength to get through Lent. Another thing people will do during Lent is instead of giving something up, they will add something.
Like a calendar in your house.
Yeah, you can keep track on your calendar of what you're going to add, but maybe you could add more prayer, or you could come to church every Sunday during Lent, or read the Bible every day. So today, I'm going to tell you a story about Lent. And this story takes place a long time ago in the early 600s. So, like, a long time ago. There was a monk. And a monk is someone who lives his life for God. And at that time during Lent, the thing that people gave up was eggs and fat and milk. So when they were cooking, they couldn't use those things. So they pretty much just used, like, water and flour and salt. And so this monk took those items and he mixed it up. And he took some of that dough and he shaped it like arms in prayer. And at that time, instead of praying with our hands together like we usually do, they prayed with their hands crossed across their chest. Can you make that shape with your hands? This is how they would pray. And so he shaped it like this, and he made a food item. Can anybody guess what food kind of looks like that? You have a guess, Lincoln?
Bread.
It's a kind of a type of bread. Any guesses what might look like that? Got another guess, Lincoln?
A bird.
He took it, and he baked it in that shape, and what he made was a pretzel. See how the pretzel kind of twists together and comes out, and it looks like the arms when they cross in prayer.
Like
uh-huh. And then the corners kind of the elbows. Yeah. It's twisted kind of in the same shape as the arms in prayer. So he invented the pretzel because he made it out of the things they were allowed to use during Lent, and he shaped it in prayer to remind us that during Lent, and really all the time, prayer is such a special way that we can talk to God. And so, I'm going to give you a baggie of some pretzels today. And when you take these, I want you to remember that they symbolize prayer. And maybe every time you see a pretzel, you can stop and spend a minute praying to God. Let's pray. So we're going to pray like they did. So let's cross our arms around our chest, and we're going to do a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. As we prepare our hearts for Easter, help us remember to pray. Amen.
Story and the children message you have brought to us today. At this moment, I would like to invite you to join me in bringing our celebrations and concerns before God. And I think we have some concerns. Please pray for David and Diehouse. He's in the hospital. And also, I think this thing, this virus called coronavirus is starting to become a global problem. So I think we need to bring it before God also today. And what any other concern you may be having in your mind and in your heart, please bring it before God. And I would like to give you a moment of silent prayer as you do that. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your mercies which endures forever. Thank you for your faithfulness. We want to thank you because of this day of worship you have given us and a good weather that you have given us. Thank you for the gift of salvation and freedom of worship that we have. Lord, we want to thank you also that you walk with us every day, that you are with us in each moment, even while we are here in your house of worship. We believe you are with us. Lord, we pray against any spirit that might take our minds and our focus away from you. We invite you to be with us from the beginning till the end. Lord, thank you that you keep your promises. Thank you that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. We invite you to encourage us this morning, especially those who are discouraged, especially those who have had a difficult week. We pray that you bring encouragement to them this morning. Lord, may we all sense you are present with us this morning. Lord, we pray especially for those who are not feeling well. You know David and others who are in the healing process. We commit them into your hands, and we pray that you bring full restoration to them. Lord, we pray for the countries around the world that have been affected by coronavirus. We pray that this disease will be brought under control. Lord Jesus, we pray that you continue to protect each one of us from getting sick or any physical effect that we might encounter. Put an edge around each one of us. Lord, we want to commit the things which are coming ahead of us. We pray for the meetings and London studies that we have. We pray that during this time, you help us to draw closer to you and help us to grow in our faith. I want to commit this service into your hands, that whatever we do here today will bring glory and honor to your name. We pray even for the choir, that you anoint their voices, that the message that they will bring through the music will touch our hearts today. We want to pray even for those unspoken prayer needs that we have in our hearts. We pray that you intercede for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Please join me in the community prayer. Oh God, you send your Son into the world that everyone might be reconciled to you. And that following the example of our Savior Jesus Christ, and walking in the way which you choose for each of us, we may be united to each other and to you in holy love. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
scripture this morning is Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And basically what it leads up to is that Jesus was led by Spirit. And he gives him a test. And here's the scripture. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and some of the angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for volunteering to lead the worship today and to lead the word of God. I have to tell you this. I heard that a minister parked his car at the wrong parking spot, at the parking lot at the hospital, and left a note on the windshield wipers saying, I have stuck all around this parking lot for 10 minutes. And I'm running late for my appointment. And so I have parked here. Please forgive us our trespasses. And then the patrol police officer came by and he noticed the car was in the wrong parking spot. And he decided to give a citation. And along with the citation, he wrote a note saying, I have been patrolling this block for a number of years. I'm a police officer. If I don't give you a citation, I will lose my job. Please do not lead us into temptations. So on the screen, it is on the next slide, we can see that temptation and forgiveness can go together. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that the prisoner is you. Forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you. That is a result of a wrong done against you. All of us, at one time or another, have been forgiven or granted forgiveness. However, there is a temptation to carry an injury in your life, and as a result, allow bitterness to set in and to become an unforgiving person. Yes, the theme of our Lent is forgive. And thank you for the worship team for getting the banner here. But today, I would like us to focus on temptation. Let's start with temptation. Temptation is the oldest problem. And there has been temptation since the time of Adam and Eve. Jesus was also tempted, and we can be tempted too. We can be tempted at any stage in life. But the question is, do we fight it or we give in? How can we respond to temptation? How can we respond to it? Do we fight it or we give in? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it gives us an answer. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, gives us a teaching on how we are supposed to respond to temptation. And the teaching is, we must use God's words as our offensive weapons. I remember in verse 4, when Jesus was tempted to turn stones into bread, he answered to the Satan that it is written, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So Jesus faced three temptations in the wilderness, according to this chapter, chapter 4. He faced temptation in the wilderness. He faced three temptations. How many? Three temptations. He faced three temptations in the wilderness. And the first one is turn stones to bread. So Satan tempted Jesus to turn stone into bread to satisfy his physical hunger. Satan tempted Jesus to misuse his power. Satan knew that Jesus can turn stones into bread. There is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with Jesus. So the point here is not that we should ignore food. No. Jesus declared that man does not live by bread alone. And it is good that he used the word there, alone. We must eat or we will die, right? Yes, we all of us, you know, we need food. So Jesus is not advocating that we should not eat food. The thing is, we should also read the word of God. We should live by what comes from the mouth of God. And this leads us to the second temptation, throw yourselves down. So in verse 5 to 9, Satan took Jesus to the highest point of the temple city and told Jesus, if you jump over this cliff, then God will put his angel down there to catch hold of you so that you don't strike your foot. So Satan tempted Jesus to misuse God's promise. You see, Satan knows the Bible too. He knows the Bible. It is clear here in verse 6. It says, if you are the Son of God, he said, now Satan is speaking, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. So as you can see on that slide, I took it as the one standing behind Jesus is Satan. And he's showing them where he can jump to. So Satan is using the word of God in the wrong way. He is interpreting the word of God wrongly. So we must be careful not to be misled by the wrong preachers and the wrong teachers by using the word of God in the wrong way. So the key here is that Jesus wants us to be diligently seeking the will of God by studying his word and to be led by the Holy Spirit in interpreting the word of God correctly. You know, it is possible to misuse the word of God. So we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us when we are reading his word so that we can interpret it correctly. Third, worship me. So the third temptation is Satan is telling Jesus to worship him. So Satan tempted Jesus to worship idols. And at this point, Satan dropped his mocking about Jesus being the Son of God. However, he does not give up his effort to cause Jesus to sin. He's not giving up in making Jesus to sin. He's still tempting Jesus. In verse 8, we hear that he took Jesus to the highest top of the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he told Jesus, "You see, if you worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms." I have to tell you that Satan will do all he can to bring us down. He did that for Jesus. He tried all he can to bring Jesus down. But Jesus knew all this. Jesus had already had the kingdoms. But Satan was trying to manipulate him. So, if we worship idols, I have to tell you that Satan becomes powerful. Yes, indeed, Jesus faced all these kinds of temptation. I would call it physical temptations. But as if you follow in the next chapters, he also faced political temptations. And also he faced spiritual temptations. And this one of worshiping idols, I think it is a spiritual temptation. However, it does not compromise. Instead, it shows resistance that is solid in the scripture. He knew the scripture very well. That is why he could defend himself. Church, we ought to know the scriptures very well. As part of my Lent of salvation, I memorize also scripture. So we ought to be studying the word of God diligently, to be solid in the word of God, so that when temptation comes, we know where to go. So as you can see in this scripture, surely the items given by Satan are very attractive. Think about it. Who could resist free food after you have been fasting for 40 days and somebody bring you free food? I think you would jump to it. But Jesus insisted or not falling into temptation. So Satan will not attack you when you are strong. He waits until you are weak. When you are vulnerable, then he brings temptations. Just as we can see on this story. But I have to tell you, any compromise situation that you put yourself in or weakness that you have, Satan will use it to bring you down. And we can even broaden the scope of temptation to all things that we have. Satan bring temptation to you, you know, when you are broke, when you have no money, when you don't have a job. Satan can bring temptation through that. Satan can bring temptation through what you like. Maybe, you know, the games that you like to play. Maybe video games. Maybe, you know, things you like to do, places you like to go, things you like to eat. Or he can bring temptation through people, family members, colleagues at work, neighbors, and the list can go on and on. The bottom line here is that, do you fight temptation or you give in? Giving in to temptation is the same as imprisoning yourself. And resisting temptations will set you free. You won't be under any control. Yes, can you imagine if you are addicted to something? Like for me, I'm addicted to caffeine in tea. And it is something I kind of grew up with. My parents gave me, you know, tea when I was little. And I've been drinking tea all this time. You know, instead of having snack, I was having tea. Tea in the morning, tea at 10 o'clock, tea after lunch, tea at 4 p.m., tea before you go to bed, you know, after supper. So can you imagine? I've had it all my life. So I decided to totally give it up, you know, for Lent. And I had migraine headache. So the thing is, I am trying to get rid of something that can control me. You know, I don't want food, you know, to control my life. I don't want tea to be controlling my life. And if I can make it through, you know, this month without it, and then I'll not go back to it. So what I'm telling you is, things can take control of your life if you don't fight it. Yeah, you are not free, because, you know, addiction is controlling your life. So as I bring this to the closing this morning, I want to say again that temptations are all around us. They have been around us since the beginning of time. And no one is immune to them. I want to assure you that God is with us amid temptations, even when we fall to them. We can learn from them and grow when we happen to fall to them. If we are falling into the same temptation again and again, then we are foolish people. Here is a scripture you can build your strong foundation on as you go on with the journey of Lent. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, "Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus told the disciple to watch and pray. And he's telling us to do the same thing today. Watch and pray. Watch. Study the word of God. And pray. So today, as you come forward for Holy Communion, I want to encourage you to take some time up front here in this kneeling rail and pray to God to give you divine divine powers to overcome temptations. In Jesus' name, amen. And now as we prepare our hearts for the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to turn your attention to the responsive readings on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And so in remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As there is one body of Jesus Christ, we have one loaf of bread here we are going to share. On the night in which Jesus gave up himself for us, he took the bread, we give you thanks. Broke it, gave it to the disciples. This is my body, broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. And as there is one blood of Jesus Christ, we have one cup here we will share. In the night in which Jesus gave up himself for us, he took the cup. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. Do it often as you drink from this cup. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we can come together and break the bread together and share from the cup. We pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon the bread which is before us, and pour out your Holy Spirit upon each one of us, so that we become one body and one disciples for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to invite the communion servers to come forward. Please join me in the spirit of prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for being present with us in this service. Thank you for speaking to us through the message for today, and through the music, and through the children's message. Thank you, Lord, for being gracious to us in every way. We want to thank you also for what we were able to bring before you as offerings. We want to pray that you bless this offering and multiply for the extension of your kingdom. As we go to different directions, we pray that you guide us, watch over us, and put an edge around us so that the enemy will not attack each one of us. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up as we sing our closing hymn. and now receive the benediction. Go forth into the world. And may we journey together with God through the Lent, and that we may find freedom and victory in Jesus Christ. You may go in peace, and may the peace of Jesus go with each one of you. Amen.